Good morning, Shavuot Tov to everybody. Parshas Chukas Balak, there's so much to talk about. I would like specifically, however, to talk about a very short few psukim. The psukim in Parshas Chukas, Perek Chaf, psukim Zayin through Pasuk Yud Dalet. If you're using the stone chumash, it could be found on pages 843 and 844. This, of course, is the events, the story of the Moshe's Mei Meriva, the critical event and the most important event that really secures Moshe's inability to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. A very sad story, and the punishment, of course, is a very heavy one. We've discussed it over the years, but I'd like to take a different look at the Parsha and share with you some very, very fascinating insights that shed light on the Parsha of Moshe at Mei Meriva. Let's read together first the psukim. We'll ask a number of questions and then try to put this story into some sort of explanation, because I believe, as do I, walk away yearly with a lot of questions, confusion about this Parsha. So let's take a look at it together. Page 842 in the Stone Chumash, we're in Parshas Chukas, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Zayin. Of course, this is coming off of Bnei Yisrael entering Midbar Tzin. They are dehydrated, they are thirsty, they complain the fact that there's no water and nothing to drink. And here we are, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe and says as follows, Kach es hamata, take the staff, v'hakel es ha'eda, and gather the assembly, gather Klal Yisrael, Ata ve'aron achicha v'dibartem el ha'sela le'enehem v'nasa nema. So it seems to be a relatively clear communication from God to Moshe to Aaron. Kach es hamata. Note it's hamata, hey hayidia, the known mata. We'll talk if there's time which mata we're talking about. So number one, take the mata. Number two, gather the Eda. Number three, you and Aaron, and speak to the Sela. V'dibartem el ha'sela le'inev v'nasan memo. So by speaking to the Sela, and note that it's not a Evan, it's a Sela specifically, speak to the Sela, v'nasan memo, and if you do that, it will give its water. V'hotzei selehem mayim min ha'sela, and water will emerge from the rock. V'hishkisa esa'edav esbe'iram, and there will be enough water for the Eda, for the assembly, and for the animal, for the flock, to be able to drink. That's the command. Let's see what Moshe does. Vayikach Moshe's hamata. Moshe takes the staff. Milefnei Hashem kasher tzivo. So thus far, everything is perfectly executed. God tells Moshe to tell the people to gather together, to come to take the mata, the staff. And the Torah describes that Moshe does exactly what he's supposed to do. He takes the mata, kasher tzivo. Vayikolu Moshe Barnes HaKala Pnei Sela. Two for two. Moshe gathers with Aaron the assembly at the Sela. And here's where things start to change, and let's read it very carefully. Vayom Elahem, Moshe says, Shimuna Hamor, listen, O you rebels. Hamina Sela Hazen Otzila Chemayim. Do you think from this rock will bring forth water? Vayare Moshe Yado, Moshe lifted up his hand, Vayach esasela b'mateo pamaim, and he hit the rock with his staff pamaim. Vayetsu maim rabim vateish ta'eda oviram, significant, abundant amount of water emerged from this rock, and enough water came out that it allowed it to give water to the assembly and to the cattle. So there's a bit of a change in what was supposed to happen. There are two psukim here indicating a change. Number one, Moshe speaks to the people, not necessarily the way he was told. Moshe questions whether or not water will be able to emerge from the rock. Then Moshe lifts his hand and hits the rock twice, and water comes out. That's what happens. Let's just finish the conclusion, God's response to this action, go back and read again. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Vel Aaron. Moshe speaks. Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron. Yan Elo Hemantem Bilakdisheni LeBnei Yisrael, because you did not believe in me, to sanctify me in the eyes of the Jewish people. You will not be allowed to bring the assembly, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, into the land that I have given you. These are the waters of strife that the Jewish people contended with God and were sanctified through them. So very few short psukim, Moshe and Aaron receive a command by God to bring forth water from a rock. Moshe indeed brings forth water from a rock, but God tells him that's not the way that I had asked you to do it. And indeed, Moshe and Aaron are punished as a result of not sanctifying the name of God instead of being the ones who will allow the Jewish people and bringing the people into Eretz Yisrael. They will not be the ones to bring the Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. The punishment seems very steep. And as the Ramban, Nachmanides, points out in his commentary to these few psukim, says the Ramban, and I quote, "Hachet b'Moshe v'Aaron b'mei Meriva eino misparsem b'kasef." The sin of Moshe and Aaron at Mei Meriva is not explicit in the verses. If you read the psukim carefully, it's not clear exactly what Moshe did wrong. We each have our own insight and understanding and have heard and have read over the years many different things as to what it was that Moshe did wrong and Aaron did wrong in order to engender the wrath of God and in order to receive the very harsh punishment of not landing, entering the land of Eretz Israel. But what exactly did they do wrong? What did Moshe do wrong? Says the Ramban, Nachmanides, Eino misparsem because it's not explicit in the pasuk what it is that Moshe did wrong. We read what God told Moshe to do. God told Moshe exactly what to do. Moshe began doing exactly what it was that he was told to do. And then something went wrong and we saw two psukim. But what it is exactly that Moshe did wrong, the Torah doesn't tell us. The only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is, Yan lo ha'amantem bi lakdisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael. You, Moshe, did not believe in me to sanctify me in front of the eyes of the children of Israel. That's a very broad, sweeping statement, that Moshe didn't sanctify the name of Hashem in the eyes of the people. Now, why not? Moshe allowed water to emerge from the rock. Water came out. Water was sufficient enough to feed and to hydrate the people and the animals. So why did Moshe not sanctify God? And more than that, the end, the last two words in the entire parsha say, Vayikadesh Bam. And he was sanctified through these waters, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was sanctified through these waters. So what it was that Moshe did exactly wrong is certainly not explicit. So much so, and I'll share with you some of the reasons this morning, the Abarbanel counts 12 different potential possibilities as to what it was that Moshe and Aaron did wrong in order them to receive the punishment that they received. The Abarbanel collects some of the classic reasons, Rashi, the Ramban, the Rambam, the Sefer Ikrim, the Dasikanim and Balitosos. The Abarbanel himself suggests his own answer, but there is a series of about 12 different approaches in the Rishonim up until the Abarbanel, who lived in the died in the early 1500s. So there's a plethora of different reasons as to what exactly was that Moshe did wrong, and those are the things that we're going to discuss today. So question number one that we have to address this morning is, what did Moshe do wrong? What did Aaron do wrong? Question number one. Question number two, does the punishment fit the crime? Is what Moshe and Aaron did so bad that they deserved not to enter Eretz Yisrael? And that was the punishment that they received. We all know, mida keneged mida, tit for tat. God punishes man the way that man does wrong. So whatever the sin was, the sin has to be sufficient enough, and the sin has to be severe enough that it meets the punishment that was given. So was the crime of Moshe and Aaron that severe that the punishment that God meted out was appropriate for the crime that they did? I mean, it doesn't really seem that it was too bad what Moshe did. Moshe did something wrong, and we'll see momentarily what it was that Moshe and Aaron did wrong, according to the classic Mefarshim. But really, was it appropriate, and was it the right punishment, and was it too sufficient of a punishment? Let's take a look in Rashi first, and try to go through some of the explanations as to what it was exactly that Moshe did wrong, and try to put it all together. Rashi commenting on the pasuk where God tells Moshe, "Yan lo hamantan bilakdisheni, you didn't believe in me to sanctify my name." Rashi has the most classic explanation to describe what it was that Moshe did wrong. Says Rashi, "Sheilu dibartem el asela, were you Moshe to have spoke to the rock, vahotzi, and water would have emerged. Hayisi mikudash lenei aida, I would have been sanctified to the assembly of the people." The Omrim, the Jewish people would have said, just look at this rock. It doesn't speak and it doesn't hear. And it doesn't require any sustenance. Mekayim diburo shel makom fulfills the word of God. Kal v'chomer anu, certainly, absolutely, we, the Jewish people who hear, who see, and who require the sustenance of God, we certainly should listen to God. So Rashi explains what we all know from school years, that the reason that Moshe was punished is because he didn't speak to the rock, and instead of speaking to the rock, Moshe hit the rock. Now, what's the difference between speaking to the rock and hitting the rock? Rashi says that a rock that doesn't hear, and a rock that doesn't speak, and a rock that doesn't require sustenance, people would see that the rock fulfilled the word of God, so too we certainly should fulfill the word of God. So thus, Rashi has the most well-known explanation, a classic explanation. Moshe hits the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and indeed you see that in the Psukim, right? When Moshe speaks to the people, immediately after, Vayar Moshe's Yadu, Moshe lifts up his hand, Vayachas Aselba Mateo Pamayim, hits the rock twice, and water emerges, and there's enough water for the people and for the flock. So the Torah is almost explicit that the reason that Moshe was punished was as a result of hitting the rock and not speaking to the rock, so much so that the next pasuk says, you didn't sanctify my name in front of the Jewish people. And Rashi, commenting on that pasuk, says, you know why my name wasn't sanctified? Because you hit the rock and you didn't speak to the rock. If you would have spoken to the rock, the people would have been amazed. It would have been something phenomenal. It would have been a teaching lesson for the people. It would have been a moment of truth for the people to see how the rock behaves. And instead, that didn't happen. The Ramban quotes Rashi, and the Ramban has two questions on the position of Rashi. Question number one, if you look in the pasuk very carefully, what does God tell Moshe? Kach es hamata, take the staff. Asks the Ramban, from the fact that God commanded Moshe, kach es hamata, that would indicate that Moshe was supposed to take the mata, take the staff, and do what with it? Hit the rock. Why in the world would God have commanded Moshe to take the staff if he didn't want Moshe to hit the rock? So thus, Moshe was listening to God, says the Ramban. That can't be the reason that Moshe is punished for hitting the rock. God told Moshe, kach es hamata, look in the psukim, those three words are there. And says the Ramban, the mashmos, the indication of those three words, is that Moshe should take the staff to hit the rock, no different than Moshe taking a staff in other instances and also using the staff to execute a makkah. We all know, of course, that same staff of Moshe, which was brought with him, turned from a staff to a snake. And Moshe took a staff, and Moshe always has a staff with him to provide and to perform many miracles. So when Moshe hears the command of God, kach es hamata, says the Ramban, that is an indication that Moshe should take the staff and indeed to hit the rock. So asks the Ramban, Rashi can't be the reason for the punishment, and Rashi can't be the reason for the sin that Moshe did. Because otherwise God would have never told Moshe to take the staff. Question number one. The Ramban, however, asks a second question. And asks the Ramban, at the end of the day, read the Psukim. The Pasuk says that water emerged from the staff. If water emerged from the rock after Moshe hit the rock with his staff, so it would seem that God was pleased with what Moshe did, because otherwise, if Moshe would have been punished and the people would have been punished, no water would have come out. Moshe hits the rock not once, Moshe hits the rock twice, and water emerges. Asks the Ramban, what's the difference at the end of the day if Moshe hits the rock and water emerges, or if Moshe speaks to the rock and water emerges? I'll ask each of you, if we were to speak to a rock or to hit a rock, either way, and water with orange, we would think that's miraculous. What's the difference? If you go to your backyard and you take a staff and you start hitting the staff, the only way that water is going to emerge is because you're so sweaty and perspirated as a result that you're going to have water. But water is miraculous emerging from a rock, whether it's from hitting the rock or whether you're speaking to the rock. So asks the Ramban, it doesn't make sense, according to Rashi, to explain that the reason for Moshe's punishment is because he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Either way, it's miraculous. Either way, water came out. And more than that, as according to the Ramban, it seems to be that Moshe indeed was told to bring the staff, and he's told to bring the staff. It would seem to me that that staff is a critical part of the job, and Moshe's executing the miracle of water coming out in the desert. Thus, the Ramban objects to Rashi's position, and he argues on Rashi, and the Ramban says Moshe didn't do anything wrong by hitting the staff. That's not the reason, because the questions the Ramban poses are too powerful. Thus, the Ramban quotes the position of the Rambam. And if you take a look in the Ramban's commentary, Al Torah quotes the position of the Rambam. The Rambam's found at the end of the fourth parak of his classic work, Shmona Prakim. Shmona Prakim is the Rambam's introduction to Mishnayos Avos. And the Rambam there discusses what the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu was. And I quote the language of the Ramban. You know what Moshe did wrong? Read the pasuk. Moshe got angry at the people. What does Moshe say? The first thing we see that's different in Moshe's response, as opposed to what Moshe was told to do, Moshe says three words. Shimu na hamorim, listen, you rebels. Vidiktik Allah Hashem Yisbarach, and God got very angry at Moshe for talking to the people like that, calling the people rebels. Shia Adam Kamohu Koes Lefnei Adas Bnei Yisrael, that a person of Moshe's stature, Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of the Jewish people, should get angry. B'makom Shein Roi Ba'akas, there's no reason for Moshe to get angry. And the Rambam continues, he says, Mipnei Shetnu Osav Midvarav Hayukulam Lameitim, everybody learned from every action of Moshe and every mannerism of Moshe. They thought that through watching Moshe, they would be able to ultimately succeed, enter the land of Israel and enter the world, Olam Haba. How could it be that Moshe is getting angry? Anger is one of the most difficult and significant and awful midos. The Ramban himself says this in his letter to his son on his way to Eretz Yisrael. He nuts him in a cast, stay away from anger. When the Rambam continues, Vlotavo ki mitchuna ra mitchuna sanefesh, anger comes from a very bad place. So says the Rambam, that it's not that Moshe hit the rock as opposed to speaking to the rock, because the Ramban explained that can't be the reason based upon the two questions that he asked. Thus the Ramban quotes the Rambam, and Maimonides in the fourth parak, in the end of the fourth parak of Shmona Prakim, says, you know what Moshe did wrong, and you know what his sin was? Shimu na hamorim, listen, you rebels. That was the problem, and that was the sin of Moshe. He should have never got upset. He should have never got angry at the people. The Medrash actually quotes that there are three people in Tanakh who got angry at the Jewish people, three great leaders. Yishayahu Anavi, you may recall, in the 12th parak of Yishayahu, also got angry at the people and called them, Anochi betoch am tamei yosheves, I dwell amongst a very impure people. And as a result of that, ultimately, Yishayahu Anavi was the recipient of death. He died, killed, murdered as a result of speaking in a very denigrating way about the Jewish people. A third person, Eliyahu Anavi, and when he was Kano Kinesi Lashem, we were zealous for the word of God, he referred to the Jewish people also in a negative way. And the Medrash groups, Moshe Rabbeinu, Eliyahu HaNavi, and Yishayahu HaNavi, the three great leaders who spoke about Klal Yisrael in a less than positive way, and thus each of them were punished. So the Rambam here explains that if you look in the pasuk, the reason for Moshe's terrible punishment was because of the sin of speaking negatively about his people. He's the leader of the people. He should not have spoken negatively about them. Shimu na hamorim is what caused the punishment of Moshe not to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. But again, the Ramban, after he quotes the Rambam, says, I don't believe that that is the reason. And I quote the language of the Ramban, Hosif hevel al havalim. The Ramban says about the Rambam, he's including silliness That's not the reason. Hevel Havolim. We've already heard that terminology, Shlomo Melech, right? Refers and calls Hevel Havolim, nothingness, meaningless. And says the Ramban that the Rambam's pshat, that Moshe was punished as a result of getting angry, is Hevel Havolim, it's meaningless. It's nothingness. That's not the reason. Because if you look in the Pasuk, says the Ramban, when Moshe says those words, it seems that that's not the reason that God takes Moshe to task. Because the next Pasuk says, if you look, Yan lo he'emantem bi, you didn't believe in me. You didn't believe in me to sanctify my name. Moshe never is told by God that you spoke angry to the Jewish people. It doesn't say that. It sounds that the chet, the sin of Moshe, was connected to his chisaron and emunah, his lack of belief in God. That's what the Pasuk says, Yan lo he'emantem bi. Nothing about the fact that Moshe gets angry. So therefore asks the Ramban that the Rambam cannot be correct because there's nothing in the Pasuk that seems to indicate that the reason for Moshe's punishment as a result of him getting angry. More than that, asks the Ramban on the Rambam, the Pasuk doesn't say that Moshe said it angrily. He just says Shimon HaMorim. It doesn't say that he said it b'lashon kas. It doesn't seem to be that Moshe said it angry. He said it coming. Listen here, you rebels. Where is Moshe angry? There's no expression of anger. You don't get that impression, says the Ramban. And number three, asks the Ramban on the Rambam, if Moshe got angry and Moshe did something wrong, well, why should Aaron be punished? What did Aaron do wrong? If it's just Moshe who got angry and Moshe who got upset, therefore asks the Ramban, well, how could Aaron and Moshe both be recipients of the very same punishment? Moshe and Aaron are told that they can't go to Eretz Yisrael. If the whole reason is because Moshe got angry, so Aaron should be allowed to enter the land of Israel. And of course, we in this week's parsha, Moshe, Aaron dies, and he's brought to Har HaHor immediately after this. So those are the three questions that the Ramban poses on the Rambam. Number one, it seems in the Pasuk that it's because of the lack of faith and belief in God that Moshe is punished, nothing to do with anger. Number two, it doesn't seem that Moshe got angry when he said Shimuna HaMorim. And number three, why was Aaron punished? And the Ramban concludes and he says, Ha'emes, ki ha'inyan sod gadol misisrei ha'Torah. The truth as to why Moshe was punished and what exactly did wrong, says the Ramban, and I quote his holy words, sod gadol misisrei ha'Torah. It's a hidden secret of the Torah. We don't really know. And as the Ramban began his commentary when he said, Moshe's sin is not mefurash, bakra, Moshe's sin is not explicit in the Torah. It's not explicit in the Psukim. The Ramban concludes and says at the end of the day with Rashi, with the Rambam, sod gadol misisrei ha'Torah, this is a hidden secret of the Torah. However, the Ramban has to say something. It's true the Ramban disagrees with Rashi. It's true the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. But the Ramban then quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel was the end of the Gaonic period, the early Rishonim. Rabbeinu Chananel was a Rebbe of the Rambam himself. And the Ramban quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who reads the Pasuk very carefully. And take a look back in your Chumash. And when Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Yud says, Hamin hasela hazen notzi lachemayim. Moshe says, do you think from this rock, I can bring forth water? Says the Ramban, quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, the sin is in the word that Moshe used, notzi. Moshe should have said, yotzi Hashem lachemayim. When Moshe says, notzi lachem, the indication is, do you think that I, Moshe Rabbeinu, could bring water from this rock? God says, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, how are you speaking to the people like that? Notzi lachemayim, you think you could bring water from the rock? The Pasuk should have said, Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, yotzi Hashem lachemayim, that God will bring forth water from this rock. As the Pasuk says earlier in Sefer Shmos, b'seis Hashem lachem ba'er b'sar lachol, that God gives meat for the people to eat. God brings water for the people to drink. That's the problem. And that's what it means, lo kidashtem bi, you didn't sanctify my name. You know why you didn't sanctify my name? Because you never referred to me, God said. You should have said, yotzi Hashem lachem mayim. God will bring forth water from this rock. And instead, Moshe says, notzi lachem mayim, indicating that I am the one who can bring forth water. And thus, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, this is also, by the way, the opinion of the Ravid, Reb Avram, then David, one of the great Rishonim as well, that Moshe Rabbeinu should have stressed God more in the verses, in the psukim to the Jewish people, and therefore explains the Ravid that in Sefer Dvarim, when the sin is repeated, the Torah says, Al Asher ma'altem bi, b'soch b'nei Yisrael b'meim rivas kodesh, the word ma'altem is from the word mi'ila. Mi'ila means sacrosanct, that you made God sacrosanct in the eyes of the people because really you inferred, says God to Moshe, that you're the one who's going to be able to execute and to bring forth water from the rock. It's really me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, here there's something very critical to note. And the Medrash points out, the Shmos Rabbah, that not only did Moshe sin in this area, but Yosef HaTzadik did as well. Yosef, we all know, was the youngest, or one of the youngest, the second to youngest of the children of Yaakov Avinu. But surprisingly, Yosef died earliest, the first of his brothers to die. After the deaths of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in Sefer Bereishis, the Torah concludes all of Chumash Bereishis with the death of Yosef HaTzadik. And one of the reasons for the death of Yosef first, of all of his brothers, even though he was the youngest, was because the Medrash says that Yosef said, Anochi achal keleschem, I will feed you. I will take care of you. Yosef, really? You? God's going to take care of Yaakov. God's going to take care of your brothers. Anochi achal keleschem, the Pasuk says, Yosef, I'm going to feed you. That's not true. God will allow you, Yosef, to feed your brothers. The Medrash says, therefore, that just like Yosef sinned in this way, showing that he was the boss, so to Moshe sinned in this very area. That's what the pasuk means. Lo kidashtem bi. You didn't sanctify my name. You didn't believe in me to sanctify your name. And therefore, the Ramban, after disagreeing with Rashi's pshat, that the reason for the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu is because he hit the rock as opposed to speaking to the rock, after disagreeing with the opinion of the Ramban, that the reason for Moshe's sin is because he spoke negatively, angry, Shimun Hamorim, the Ramban says, no, 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 those are not the two reasons. The real reason for the sin and the punishment that Moshe received is because Moshe didn't express his trust, his belief in God enough by the respect that he said, I am going to bring out water. Notzi lachem mayim. I will be the one who will bring forth water. Instead, Moshe should have said, Yotzi Hashem lachem mayim. Share with you two other reasons, classical reasons in the Rishonim, the Sefer HaIkrim. That's Rav Yosef Alba, one of the early Rishonim, a classic work of Jewish philosophy. Rav Yosef Alba says it's something entirely different, a reason that is not entirely familiar to many, but indeed the Abarbanel quotes this reason. In the Parsha, the Abarbanel says, you know what the problem was? Moshe didn't believe in himself. Moshe didn't think that this could work. Because if you look in the Psukim, what did Moshe do? He immediately took his staff. He hit the rock once. He hit it twice. Moshe almost lost his sense of independence and belief in his ability to be able to accomplish. Because if Moshe would have believed in himself, then he would have heard that God was speaking to him and telling him, listen, Moshe, I'm telling you, speak to the rock. Moshe says, me, speak to the rock. I'm familiar with hitting things. I hit the rock earlier. Right? In Parshas Beshalach, at another time period, earlier in the first year in the Midbar, when you told me to hit the rock, I hit the rock and water emerged. I remember back 40 years ago, I did that. That I could do. But speak to the rock? I'm not sure. I turned the staff into a snake by hitting it. I went to Kriyas Yamsuf and I brought my staff with me. That's my comfort zone. That's what I can do. But Moshe says the Ikrim wasn't sure that he could pull this off. Moshe didn't believe in himself. And if you're a leader and you don't believe himself, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God, you have to step aside. Because I spoke to you and I told you something and you didn't believe you could do it. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells each of us, that we can accomplish. We can climb the ladder of success in various venues and areas of our life. And the way that it's not going to be successful is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow it to happen. It's because we don't believe it. We don't believe in ourselves. And thus the Ikrim says that was the reason that Moshe was punished, because Moshe didn't believe in himself that he could accomplish. A fifth reason for the punishment of Moshe, the sin of Moshe, is quoted by the classical work, the Das Kanim, the Balei HaTosfos, one of the very well-known commentaries of the Torah, again, the Balei HaTosfos, the Rishonim. They explain, and if you look in the Psukim, it's actually very interesting. Moshe doesn't discuss this enough with the Jewish people. Moshe should have articulated more clearly what's happening. Moshe should have built this up. Moshe should have made a big deal about this. What does Moshe do? Just the opposite. From this rock will water emerge? Moshe should have built this up, should have spoken about this, should have articulated this much clearer. When it came to Matan Torah, when it came to Kriyas Yam Tzuf, when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, when it comes to the Man, the Be'er, the Slav, if you read the Psukim and Sefer Shmos and Sefer Bamidbar, there's a lot of talk, discussion, and plastering the news about the event, so much so that Yisro himself heard what happened. Moshe should have built it up. Moshe should have articulated it. He hinted to the people that there's going to be some sort of miracle, but this should have been spoken about more. And when miracles happen in our lives, we have to talk about them. They have to register to ourselves, to our family, to our community, to people around us. That's what a Korban Todah is, a Thanksgiving offering, that we invite everybody to come together and we express thanks to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a large audience. That's when we make the Berchas Adom, we make Berchas Agoma at the Sefer Torah on Shabbos when everybody's there to hear the bracha. And we should discuss the event. You make a Kiddush. Why do you make a Kiddush? To also praise and to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu lifnei am ve'eda. So here says the Baz Daskenim, the Balei Tosus, that Moshe was taken to task, and Moshe's punishment was the fact that he only hinted something. We need to be more clearer and expressing our thanks to God in a more obvious, open, clear way, in a way where it's expressed. The people can't just receive hints and riddles to answer, but rather it needs to be mentioned more clearly, more openly, and more obviously, and that is the reason explained the Dasken and the Balei Tosfos. Thus far, we have explained five reasons. The Rashi, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ikrim, and the Dasken and the Balei Tosfos. I'd like to share with you now the approach of the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel quotes all five of these explanations, and he quotes another six. I'm not going to quote all other six reasons that the Abarbanel quotes, but let me explain to you the Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel, after quoting all of these five reasons and another six, says none of these make sense. I don't understand the Rashi. I don't understand the Rambam. I don't understand the Ramban, not the Dasken and the Balei Tosfos, and not the Ikrim. I don't understand anything. And asks the Abarbanel at the end of the day, like the Ramban said, it's not explicit in the verse. It's not clear in the pasuk what exactly was that Moshe and Aaron did wrong. It doesn't say. So much so that the Ramban says it's a sod Hashem, it's a secret. Asks the Abarbanel, what did Moshe really do so wrong? And Aaron? Aaron was a bystander. What did Aaron do? He didn't hit the rock. He didn't get angry. What did Aaron do? Says the Abarbanel, something's wrong here. The punishment doesn't fit the crime. It doesn't make sense that Moshe and Aaron should be punished in such a heavy way. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu helps the Jewish people. He is the harbinger, and he is the individual who pushes the people out of Mitzrayim. He brings them across the Yam Suf. He brings them to the foot of Har Sinai, brings the Torah to the people, travels with them through the Midbar. He's their leader. This little sin is not going to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to enter Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Rabbana, it can't be. It doesn't make sense. Listen to what the Abarbanel says. Just yesterday I saw this pshat. I never was familiar with the Abarbanel, and it brought something into light in a different way. The Abarbanel says the following thing. You know, often a child can do something wrong. A good parent, however, often will not chastise or punish the child immediately. Teacher also knows when to punish and when not to punish. And more often than not, a very experienced teacher and a good parent won't punish the child and will wait the appropriate time to punish the child or the student. You can't do it right away because maybe you'll do it out of anger. Maybe you're not going to give the kid enough honor and respect that will be so devastating for the child that the punishment will be more egregious than indeed what the punishment is. Says the Abarbanel, that's what happened here. They really didn't do something so wrong. Moshe hit the rock as opposed to speaking the rock. Water came out anyway. And like the Ramban asks on Rashi, what's so the difference between hitting the rock or speaking to the rock? And Moshe was told to bring the staff. So what did Moshe do wrong at the end of the day? Listen closely to what the Abarbanel says. The Abar Benel says that the punishment that Moshe and Aaron received not to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael was not because of this. This wasn't the reason. You know what the reason that Moshe and Aaron aren't entering Eretz Yisrael is for? It's because Aaron's involvement in the Egel Hazav, and it's for Moshe's involvement in the Miraglim. Why didn't God punish Moshe and Aaron independently then? Like a parent. It wasn't the right time. Moshe was involved on some level helping the Miraglim, and Moshe was trying to help God. Aaron was involved with the Chet Egel, but on some level, as the Ramban himself explains in Parshas Ki Sisa, it was a delay tactic. But at the end of the day, Aaron did something wrong. Moshe did something wrong for his involvement in the Miraglim. But God said that that wasn't the right time to punish them. Moshe was the leader of the Jewish people in a very critical time period at the Miraglim. Aaron was the leader of the Jewish people when Moshe was in Har Sinai, and it wasn't the right time to punish Aaron. And just like a good teacher and a good parent, God is the ultimate teacher. God is the ultimate parent. Melech, Malchim, Melech, Kodesh, Baruch Hu. And he says that I can't punish them then. So God waits for this event, which is not such a big deal. And God uses this as the excuse that Moshe and Aaron are not to enter the land of Israel. Really, this is not the reason. The reason happened in Parshas Ki Sisa with the Chet Egel and Parshas Shlach with the Chet HaMeraglim. But that would have embarrassed Moshe and Aaron. So God uses this as the excuse not to have them enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. And thus, the Abar Benel says, I've resolved all of the questions. It has nothing to do with Moshe getting angry. Because if it's just Moshe getting angry, Aaron should be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. It has nothing to do with Moshe hitting the rock. Because at the end of the day, water came either way. And either way, it's miraculous. And Moshe was told to bring his staff. So really, says the Abar Benel, they did nothing wrong. It wasn't so bad. So if it wasn't so bad, why were they punished? And why did they not enter Eretz Yisrael? Says the Abar Benel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the ultimate parent, the ultimate teacher, the ultimate Rebbe. You have to know when to punish, how to punish, make sure not to embarrass the child or the student, and make sure to teach a lesson. So Moshe and Aaron received the lesson. They're unable to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, not because of hitting the rock. It paled in comparison to the Chet Egel, to the Chet of the Meraglim. What's the comparison? Moshe and Aaron were safe, secure, and weren't punished as a result of the actions that they did with the Meraglim and Chet Egel. But here they're going to be punished for hitting the rock, and water emerged either way. Says the Abar Benel, you got it all wrong. The punishment is what happened earlier. The Chet HaEgel with Aaron and the Chet HaMeraglim with Moshe. This punishment was the reason for what they did earlier. Now's the excuse for them to receive the punishment that they received. And the Asti Abar Benel, after he gives 12 different reasons for the Chet of Moshe and Aaron, says that this is what he believes is the Pashut Pshat, the simple reason. It's an earth-shattering Chiddush. It's a mind-blowing new idea that the Abar Benel says. And again, the Abar Benel lived in the 1500s. He was excommunicated from Italy, from King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. Abar Benel actually was the treasurer and a very leading political figure in the kingdom of Italy. And of course, just another example of a Jew who gives so much to his host country and ultimately is turned upon in the Inquisition. But ultimately, the Abar Benel is a critical scholar in a classical work on HaTorah, but for about 500 years, we settled with the answers of Rashi, the Rambam, the Ramban, Das Kenim Balei Tosfos, the Ikrim. They don't suggest this, but the Abar Benel does suggest this, very worthy of understanding and explaining the position of the Abar Benel. Allow me to share with you two other answers to this question, both contemporary. The Emes LeYaakov, a sefer which you know I use quite often, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his commentary on the Torah to this week's Parsha, actually refers to his commentary in Parsha's Yisro, where he explains the chet of Moshe and why Moshe received such a very difficult punishment. And explains Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that, do you know why Moshe was taken to task? Moshe was taken to task because he was Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe, the teacher of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Umesor LeYoshua. Yeshua's came. Moshe is the original man, the Rebbe, teacher, who is the person who passes the tradition of the Torah from generation to generation, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God Almighty. So asks Rabbi Yaakov, that's the reason why Moshe was punished so mightily. Because he did something that was seemingly not so important. But because Moshe, and I quote the language of Rabbi Yaakov, Shuhaya Mekabel HaTorah Me'Hashem V'Moser L'Yisrael, that since Moshe was one who passed the Torah to the Jewish people from God, V'chol Dibur V'Dibur Shel Yesh Bo Din Shel Torah Hashem, everything that Moshe says is so critical in the chain of the Mesorah that it can't veer an iota. If Moshe is told something and Moshe changes it just a little bit, we can imagine, we could think that Moshe changes other things and he won't be punished, he won't be taken to task. But how can our leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah from Har Sinai, who's supposed to give it to the Jewish people, he can't veer an iota? Because if you see that he veers here, maybe he veers in other places, and that really questions and challenges the entire essence of the Torah. And says Rav Yaakov, Cheto zeh ma'amides kol mesiras ha'Torah b'sakana. This sin can jeopardize the entire mesoras ha'Torah, the entire chain and tradition of Torah Judaism. Sharei achshav eminuso shel Moshe mutelas b'safek, because now Moshe's truthfulness and his integrity is placed in jeopardy. Because if Moshe does something and changes even a word of God's command, that shows that Moshe potentially changed other areas as well. And therefore God punishes him in such a very painful, challenging way. Shekulam yedu, that all of Jewry should recognize, Shirakan sita Moshe mishlichusov and enashosav, that only here did Moshe ever veer from his command. V'amnam b'shar kol ha'Torah kula Moshe emes, only here did Moshe veer from the word of God. So very different than the Abarbanel. Abarbanel says, nah, 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 the chait of Mamre, that wasn't such a big deal. Moshe hit the rock. He could have spoke to the rock. He could have hit it. It's not such a big deal. Moshe was punished because of the chait of Meraglim. Says Rabbi Yaakov, absolutely not. This sin is egregious. The chait of Mamre is something that was horrific and terrible and horrible, because Moshe is the Moser HaTorah L'Yisrael. Moshe is the one who transmits and passes the tradition of the Torah to Klali. So if Moshe veers an iota, it jeopardizes the entire tradition and Mesoras HaTorah. Therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov, that's why Moshe's punishment was so severe and meted out in such a harsh way, because of that. I'd like to conclude with a comment of Rabbi Eliyahu Diskin. Rabbi Eliyahu Diskin is quoted in the Sefer Yechiruven. Yechiruven is the Sefer Rabbi Reuven Elitzur Karelenstein, one of the great Magidim of Yerushalayim, who passed away some time ago recently. And he quotes a very interesting insight into how exactly to understand the Chot of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he refers us to Parshas Zosa Bracha. We all know in Parshas Zosa Bracha, Moshe gives brachos to each of the tribes. And to the tribe of Levi, Moshe says as follows, Tumecha v'urecha l'ish chasidecha, asher nesiso b'masa, terivehu amei meriva. So when Moshe blesses each of the tribe of Levi, Moshe blesses them by chastising them for what they did by the chait of mei meriva. Moshe says, you know how I'm going to remember you? You know I'm going to bless the tribe of Levi? I'm going to tell them what they did at mei meriva. Of course, Moshe is from the tribe of Levi. So Moshe says, I'll tell you, Levi, what you did. You're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so terrific. You've done such wonderful things that you sinned at Chet Mei Meriva. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Levi. And the question, of course, is how can Moshe say that? How does that fit with all of the things of the other tribes? Right? That's what the Pasuk says in Zosa Bracha, Perek Lama Gimel Pasuk Ches. That exactly what Moshe did, Tumecha Recha Lish Chazidecha, you tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Masa, and you challenged them at Mei Meriva. What's going on? So Belial Diskin explained this with an outstanding story. We are all familiar, you may be familiar, that one of the earliest immigrations to the land of Israel, it's usually referred to in history as the first Aliyah, were the Talmidei HaGra, the students of the Vilna Gaon. The students of the Vilna Gaon were passionate Zionists, and they very much, following their Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, moved to Eretz Yisrael. And one of the Vilna Gaon's great Talmidim, Rebbe Yisrael Mishklov, was on a boat one of the great outstanding disciples, the outstanding disciple of the Gaon, he actually wrote a sefer called Pas HaShulchan, where he talks about the laws of Eretz Yisrael. Many of the psukim of the Vilna Gaon are found there. And as they're traveling on the boat to Eretz Yisrael, a true story, the boat begins to sink. And the boat is up and down. And Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov all of a sudden calls out, Rabosai, we have to do something. Let's stand up, and each of us should admit our guilt and a sin that we committed. And if we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu different sins that we did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear our tshuva. Just imagine. Talmidei HaGra. What sins do they do? So listen to this. One of the students of the Vilna Gaon gets up and he says, let me tell you what I've done wrong. One day when I was a youngster in Cheder, I did something terrible. I came from a home that was so poor. We had no food. We had nothing. And I knew every time I would eat food in my house, I'd be taking away food from my parents, from my mother, my father, and my siblings. I told my mother that there's now a cafeteria in the school, in the cheder, and she doesn't have to feed me anymore. And like that, I knew that my portion of food would go to my father and to my mother, and they would be okay. They'd be taken care of. They'd split my portion, my ration, and it would allow everybody to have a little bit of extra food. Every day, my mother would ask me, what did you eat today? And I would tell her what the menu was. And for 2 months, said the student, I lied to my mother. And I was a chakram. And I told my mother what I ate and how I ate it. And it wasn't true. I would make up a menu and there was nothing to do. And he says, An Hashem, slach li al chet shechatasi, forgive me for the sin that I haven't done. Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov heard this. And he said, Rabbona Shel Olam, listen to the sins of your children. Listen to the sins of your people. Focus on our sins. Look, this is the worst that we've done, Rabbona Shel Olam. Help us, get us out of here, because this is how bad we are. This is the sin. The worst that we could do is to protect our family and lie to my mother so my mother has enough bread and margarine and marmalade to feed my kids. That's the sin. And slowly the storm began to settle. And safely this boat was rescued and emigrated to the land of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Eliyahu Diskin says that's the pshat in this pasuk in Zosa Bracha. When Moshe Rabbeinu chastises Shevet Levi for what they did, the chait of Mei Meriva, said Rabbi Eliyahu Diskin, this is the sin of Moshe. This is the worst that Moshe did. Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at this sin. If this is the worst sin that we can do, hitting a rock as opposed to speaking to rock, Ribono Shel Olam, we're pretty good. We're okay. We've made it. We've succeeded. And that Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of his life, Tirivehu Amei Meriva, really is a bracha. Because we've succeeded. We've done something great. We've accomplished. We left Mitzrayim. We came to Matan Torah. We made it through the Midbar. We made it into Eretz Yisrael. And on his deathbed, Moshe Rabbeinu looks back at his life, says, if this is the worst that Shevet Levi can do, not too shabby. Halavai that each of us, right, Sof Yomav, that we're able to tell a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the worst sin that we could do is the sin the likes of Moshe, the sins the like the Talmidei Hagra. But these are the 8 reasons that I share with you today as to the chait of Moshe at Mei Meriva. Of course, we all have to recognize we're dealing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's medakte with chasidim, tzadikim, kechut ha'sara. Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with the people. We can't even call them people. Moshe Rabbeinu, our leader, and the person, the individual who received the Torah from Har Sinai, says the Ramban, Sod Hashem Liriyav, this is a great hidden secret as to why exactly Moshe was punished, as the Pasuk is not clear at all as to what it was that exactly that Moshe did wrong. The only reason Rashi, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Daskenu, the Balei Tosos, the Akeda, the Abarbanel, and others could attempt to explain what it was that Moshe did wrong is because Moshe is punished. If Moshe is punished, that means he did something wrong. So what's the sin that he did? So the Rishonim attempt to explain what it was that Moshe did wrong. But of course, we have to recognize that we're dealing with the holiest of holies, Moshe Rabbeinu of Yisrael, the father of the Jewish people, the Rebbe of Bnei Yisrael. And that is, in a short, what it was, the punishment, why Moshe was punishment, why the punishment meets the crime, and what exactly the sin that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Hopefully, from the different pshatim of the Rishonim, we could learn ourselves how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how to be greater of the Hashem, and how to serve Hashem in a very pure and appropriate way. Wishing everybody a Shavua Tov.